All right, without further delay, what shall we look at this morning? Sequoia.
Well, I picked up what universe are you creating this morning? And I pulled the card of acceptance. And there was just one line in there that really struck me this morning, and I just like to look at it and throw it out there.
Sure, sounds great.
And that is, let's see if I can... if we cannot accept, respect, and care for this form that we refer to as me, we cannot hope to wake up and end suffering.
Wow.
Yeah, and that was a wow, you know, this morning. Just, you know, it's something that, you know, hear over and over again.
Exactly. But there's that one moment when it really comes in and it really hits somewhere, doesn't it?
Yeah, I guess, you know, one of the things that struck me is that we have to really, well, one of the things is just accepting what's at stake here, you know, and ending suffering and what's required. And also saw that it's just, I can see why ego has such a push to keep the attention focused on what's wrong.
I'm not accepting.
Mm-hmm. You know, that, and I was seeing that earlier before I picked the card this morning, that it, how it just narrows the whole world down into, you know, everything being wrong. When in fact that's not so.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a big fat lie.
Yeah.
But it seems so, with the attention focused there, it seems so.
Yeah. It's back to that place where here's this little tiny world right here, and that's where something wrong exists.
Yeah.
And then outside of it is all of that acceptance, caring, respect. Right? And so it's just the shift of the attention from inside that little bitty, tiny world out to the rest of it.
Yeah. And and then the other thing I saw about that was, you know, so then that could be set up as a standard, you know, that...
That's the next thing that comes in, isn't it? Yeah, so conditioning figures out that openness or gets it, that you're going in the direction of leaving it behind.
Yeah.
And so it's got to come up with something. And so it looks to make a standard out of, what would the standard be?
Yeah, well, so now you have to accept that respect and care for this being, without error all the time. And if you do, then you're not going to wake up and end suffering and your problems are,
So you have to do acceptance perfectly.
Exactly. Have to do acceptance perfectly. And so then to move into accepting that, you have to step back. And accept the next thing and the next thing and the next thing.
Yeah, the image that drops in for me is that there's the circle of acceptance, and then conditioning gets the attention to move just outside of that, into that you have to do acceptance perfectly, and then you're widening the circle of acceptance to include that.
Yeah.
And then conditioning pushes the attention outside of that again. And it's just a continuous process of widening that container until... I guess until there's nothing left that's not inside that circle.
Yeah, a continuous acceptance of widening the container and, you know, not being able to go to sleep at any moment because, to be present to what's happening so that I have the awareness to take that step.
And that comes back to where you started from is... getting a sense of what's at stake. And so we really don't want to fall asleep for a minute because we know what's at stake.
Yeah.
And we know what happens when we lose attention to conditioned mind.
Yeah.
And, you know, who would vote for that?
And there's just something about seeing what's at stake and not caring for this this life form,
mm-hmm.
you know, this way that life expresses. And yeah, I don't know, and to just, it's been something I've been looking at for a while, you know, self-care and what that is, and
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so acceptance just seems like a big part of it.
Yeah. Yeah, and for me, it's a part of what you said is, but everybody in this room has had that experience where life is positioning us in a certain way,
mm-hmm.
right? And so, and then that we draw the card, and it's set mm-hmm. up so
yeah.
that information,
yeah.
there's a clear channel
yeah.
right to the place where it's intended to go. Now, like you say, we've read it, you know, many times before, maybe
yeah.
even recorded, listened, right? But this one particular time,
right.
this one sentence goes in and just widens everything out.
And really, it was pretty astounding because I did, I mean, it was just so up for me this morning, and just looking at exploring what it is that truly gives the heart pleasure,
mm-hmm.
You know, what it is to move outside of living and feeling deprived all the time. You know, what it is to move into abundance, what it is, you know, to be. And so, to just show up and to and to go pick that book up this morning. I mean, this is something I don't ever do on Sunday mornings.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah.
And to
yeah.
just go pick that book up now, draw that card. And it just was like this, you know, just one thing unfolding after the next. And it's pretty cool.
So. It's very cool. Yeah. yeah. Thank you. All right, got Kelly.
Yeah, that is up for me too, sort of always perpetually, I guess.
Acceptance?
Yeah, and
okay.
non-acceptance.
And not.
and,
it's either one or the other.
Yeah,
right?
yeah.
Sometimes we don't know which one we're in, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems like. You know, in this person's experience, that it's hard to know. There's such an interrelationship between caring for the being and letting go of that non-acceptance of everything outside the being that seems that conditioning projects like is wrong or should be otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
So, example. My parents had this house on the lake in Wisconsin, and it's this, I mean, just sort of everything about these, it's such a beautiful lake, but I mean, it's just one of these lakes in the Midwest where, you know, it's, the thing to do is to go to the lake,
uh-huh.
and it's just hundreds of boats, just, you know, in every direction, it's just like hazardous to be on the water. And it just looks stressful just to watch the lake, because it's like, oh my God.
Everybody's out there so intent on having fun.
Right.
That
right.
We
right.
know what happens.
And like blaring music from their boats. And,
full tilt boogie distraction.
Yeah. Full tilt being in nature, you know. And it's just so loud, you know, so it's just such a disconnect. I'm sitting to sit there in this lake and to feel this. The feeling is like this lake should be peaceful, but it's not.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's very, very hard to care for this person
yep.
in that place of like non-acceptance of what is of the surroundings.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. It's
makes complete sense. And so so without, so within. So when you see that lake out there, what's happening in here?
Right, well, non-acceptance, I mean, it's I think it starts with judgment, conditioning, sort of judging others, judging
the
situation, judging the whole species, judging my parents,
yep.
and then not accepting that judging.
Yep.
And sort of self-hate coming in around the whole thing, and well, I'm participating in it anyway, what am I doing? So, I mean, it's just...
Well, here you are at this lake where all that's going on, looking to do whatever you're looking to do, and so, in what you just said then, conditioning's got 50 or so motorboats internally, and it's pulling the skiers behind it, which are the judgments, cutting up the nice, mere, placid quality of the lake. And the radios are all turned on, right? The conversation is going in the head, and the... Right?
Yeah, absolutely. And then it starts up a conversation about how, well, really you should be accepting all of this as the, because who are you to judge that any of this is wrong? And this is just the wonderful, incredible time at which you happen to be alive, where petroleum has exploded, and suddenly now there's electricity and boats, and, I mean, isn't this amazing? And who are you to sit here on your high horse and deny the whole species their party?
And you're familiar with that process, right? So conditioning gets you to judge. There's a judgment that it's providing. And then as soon as you go for it, then it comes back and punishes you for that judgment.
Yeah. And it's just left with sitting in a very, in an environment which is meant to evoke such peace. And having an experience which is very far from peaceful.
Yeah.
I'm sort of almost looking forward to the next time I can go to the lake that I'm talking about and
to practice with it.
To practice with it. Yeah. It's that last bit, that conversation, I guess, about which was being discussed just shortly ago, that you should be accepting that voice, that's the how it really seems.
So you should be accepting of all of this stuff going on.
Yeah, and it's an I. For me, I would experience that as I should be. The voice wouldn't be you. It would be I should really... not be judging and be peaceful and be... Yeah. So anyway, looking forward to the next time to practice with it. I'll get a very, very soon, I think I'll likely have an experience of sort of the other end of that, which is in non-accepting of the self in relation to the external environment. So then I'll soon be going, I think, to visit my brother for a time. In his main living room. He's been nominated for 26 very famous, prestigious awards, and he's got all the nomination sort of certificates framed and on every wall of this main living room area. This person's story is one of not having done anything in life and whatever. So they're,
Setup.
It's almost this ridiculous scene of sitting in this room surrounded on all walls by my brother's famous accomplishments.
And then you step outside to go to the lake where there's nature and peacefulness and quietness. And
there's that cell for him, the external. It's sort of the same process of non-acceptance, either internally or projected outward.
And so, Kevin, have you had an experience of the internal lake being peaceful, calm, those gears?
Yes. I have had that experience.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because that's what you're looking for, to find that place in those places.
Yeah.
And how would that change that experience? Can you get a sense of it?
Yeah, well, we'll find out. I hope to bring that. that level of practice to it, to it just, it would change it from being all about me.
Right. Very good. Yeah.
To just, you know, in quotation marks, obviously, to not being in the story about what I'm experiencing and just experiencing. I mean, how amazing. I love my brother.
Yeah.
Like, good for him. And it's not based on vanity. He has these things. It's hard to explain. It's, it would seem like it is. But it's really not a vanity thing for him to add these things around. He's just really proud of his accomplishments, and good for him.
Yeah.
He doesn't have people over often to like show these things to or anything like that.
Yeah. So in that then, a sense that the attention is going towards everything on the walls, and that is creating that disturbance in the internal lake, right? It's getting the conditioning, a conditioning reaction. And that a sense too that if you focused on the love that you had for your brother, that all of that would kind of fade away. That would leave you in that place of being able to respond instead of react.
Yeah, and to really just sort of be that love,
and
rather than even to focus
exactly.
on it, to just let go of the I and the story of I focusing on
yep.
I, you know, because then it easily gets into like, oh, I should be loving toward my brother.
Yep.
I'm trying to yep. focus on the love.
Yep.
you know. So yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's helpful. And you know, we'll see. It's just helpful to get this stuff out there.
Oh, it's very
walking
helpful.
Into.
Yeah.
Into it pretty soon.
Yeah, and the other piece of it for me is, kudos for the willingness to apply the spirit of inquiry in what I project to be a really difficult places. To just be willing to put yourself there and go, let's see what happens. You know, I've got enough experience under my belt. I know how conditioning is messing me up. And so I want to go there to see the process of how I cause myself to suffer. And the rest of it, I'm not too concerned about.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I've been looking at the difference between pleasure and enjoyment.
Okay.
And it came up big time yesterday in the form of I just got to watch this huge conditioning like around. Monastic practice and around like just my day yesterday, it was like conditioning has huge resistance to anything that looks like hard work or effort or,
because it's not pleasurable or it's not
right.
enjoyable.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh God, I gotta get out of bed, I gotta put on my shoes and go to the building, and then I gotta meditate, and then I gotta work. And then I gotta meditate again, then I gotta work.
Endless, it's endless.
Yeah, exactly. And and I never get a break. And all I wanna do is like lay around my pajamas and eat a big piece of chocolate cake or, you know, like.
Something that would really take care of me.
Exactly. Basically, it says like, I don't wanna do anything that's remotely difficult and I only want pleasure. And then, you know, of course, I see how that happens. You know, out in the world, especially in the past, I've let go a lot of this stuff, but especially with kind of more addictive, pleasurable kind of things, how it's actually like when I indulge in that, it's almost like I kind of envision it as like an atom bomb, a kind of pleasure going off. There's this mushroom cloud of like, whoa, this is great.
And but there is that momentary pleasure.
But, yeah, for sure. And it's great for, like, whatever, 30 seconds, maybe, like, 15 minutes. I don't know. But then the thing is, it devastates everything in its path for miles. And there's this, like, blast zone where there's, like, nothing left. There's nothing left for the human to enjoy. It's, like, it just annihilates all of the subtle pleasures, mm-hmm. indulging in the massive pleasure. Mm-hmm. And then, like, I get no pleasure whatsoever from a subtle pleasure. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of noticing that yesterday I was seeing one of the beauties of this monastic practice, which is just continually, in practice in general, but especially in monastic practice, continually going to that place of, you know, I'm not indulging in the big atom bomb pleasures. And
there's no chocolate cake in
there's no chocolate cake. There's no chocolate cake. There's no stain in my PJs. And so there's the refraining from that, and then there's, you know, really flexing those willingness muscles. I mean, every day, all day long, flexing those willingness muscles of I don't want to. Well, you know, for you, it's what we're doing, you know?
Exactly.
This is what we're here to do. And it's just so much appreciation for that. I saw a couple of things. One thing I saw was that doing the conditioned pattern of indulging in the pleasure and resisting anything that's hard, life just gets smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. And it kind of gets to this point where, you know, I'm avoiding anything that looks remotely hard, which is really everything in life. I mean, anything in life.
Or conditioning.
Right. Sure, yeah.
That's the definition of, well, not necessarily a definition, but that's what conditioning does, is it resists life in every form. And so.
Exactly.
There's that piece of it.
Yeah, that's it. It winds up being a resistance to all of life, because to conditioning, all of life has something that's difficult. Mm-hmm. And it gets smaller and smaller, and then the tolerance for discomfort shrinks, and the craving for the bigger and bigger pleasures grows, and it just gets, the human is weaker and weaker and smaller and more isolated.
That world gets tinier, tinier, tinier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Less and less ability to appreciate small pleasures and to truly enjoy life. And then kind of conversely, what I get to practice here, especially here at the monastery, but everywhere in practice, even practicing out in the world, is practicing refraining from indulging in those big pleasures, and then kind of cultivating this ability to appreciate the small pleasures. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, for example, I was walking around and just so delighting in the really, really subtle aroma of a flower or something in the breeze. And then walking into, into the archway and then the dining hall, the bright colors of the new coolers, it was like bright orange and bright blue. It was like, oh, and it just felt like, oh, great pleasure in just bright colors.
Yeah.
You know, like these really subtle things that would be completely annihilated in the blast zone of the big pleasure. And so cultivating that, and then this great willingness, the strength that is being built in the willingness to just do what there is to do regardless of what I thinks about it.
Yep.
And the world gets bigger and bigger. And soon I find myself in this place, like right now I feel like there is nothing that I wouldn't do. You know? I mean, if it's what life was asking and the human, you know, the heart was leaning in that direction, there's nothing I'm afraid of.
Yeah, exactly. What would stop you at this point?
Yeah, there's no discomfort. And as I get like to more and more subtle levels, I see, you know, there's the subtle pleasures of smells and colors and different things. And even, you know, the most subtle levels that I'm aware of right now are practicing with the breath and on the cushion, that just breathing is profoundly pleasurable. And there's nothing in that for the self.
It's conditioning.
Yeah. And that even in that place, then something, quote, painful could arise. And that kind of, those distinctions and labels kind of blur a little bit at that point. When I am able to really practice willingness to be with what is, and then, you know, aware of pleasure at a really subtle level, even pain, it's like, well, is it even really pain at that point?
Yeah. It's like in that place, there's no one there to take up those labels. Mm-hmm. The labels don't get created. It just gets mixed in with all of the other experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's just such a, it's such an empowering place to be. And it just feels really strong and happy. And there's this, and that's what I was looking at, the difference between pleasure and enjoyment is that, you know, pleasure, it's about ego getting what it wants, and enjoyment happens. Ego, right now, it's getting nothing that it wants. Mm-hmm. And there's this profound enjoyment of all parts of life.
Yeah, so that's really interesting. So then, with that, then conditioning is what does the enjoyment, no, the pleasure, and then life just enjoys life. And so, you know, the way you've described it is there's that transition from that search for pleasure all the time. You know, there's that classic sabotage setup, searching for pleasure, but all the time keeping the focus on what's not working. So that, right, sets the human up to go on that search endlessly, right? All the while, it's set up to fail completely.
That's great. Right? Yeah, it appears to be a search for pleasure, but it's really going to displeasure.
It's really going to displeasure in a real hurry, right? It's heading right for the mushroom cloud.
Yeah.
And the description is excellent. The image is terrific. It feels like, you know, we talk about a conditioned mind as an addiction, kind of the granddaddy of all addictions.
Right.
And so the process that you outlined feels that, has all those elements to it, that seeing what's happening with that, right, knowing the devastation that occurs after cloud, right, and I would project something like there's the mushroom cloud going up, and there's a little bit of pleasure, right, and then right afterwards is that sense of, you know, oh no, I did it again, and this is just the biggest proof that you're the most worthless person in the entire world, and then that just devastates all of life.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing that can be enjoyed when the attention is on whatever that is, right?
Oh,
when
yeah.
you're the most worthless person for miles,
yeah,
and like
yeah.
that.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's and just seeing it over and over, it's so helpful. You know, it just strengthens that resolve.
Mm-hmm.
It strengthens that resolve. And it's been my experience in practice here at the monastery and out in the world. Actually, for me, it's been profoundly helpful kind of being back and forth. Mm-hmm. And over the last 4 or 5 years, having this experience of training here at the monastery in the visiting monk kind of format, and really getting clear on how all that works.
Yeah.
Really getting clear on the choice that the heart wants to make. And getting to practice that in this full immersion way, and then going out in the world and getting to kind of
really practice,
put it to the test.
Yep.
It's like where the rubber meets the road, in my experience. And then inevitably it kind of, you know, it slides a little bit, but then I come back and I train some more. And then it's like every time I go back out, it's like at a little bit higher level. It's like a little stronger, a little more clear.
Mm-hmm.
Even if I slide a little bit, that's not a problem because I can't unsee what I've seen.
Exactly. You are a forever changed person by the things that you have seen.
Yeah. And just gradually it becomes in that place of strength and trustworthiness of, I know what leads to what, and I'm going to make the choice that leads to true enjoyment.
Yeah. 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 That really feels like that process of sorting out what's going towards conditioning, what's going towards life. And after we start in on that, it's hard to stop someone from completing that task once we've really begun to see where that leads. And so even in that place of sliding back a little bit, it's not a problem because the focus always gets back to, but that's what I want. I really want to be in life. I really want to enjoy those little tiny things.
That's absolutely my experience. Yeah, and there's this place of no fear for that anything can happen, even backsliding, because
and
I'm
no fear.
So clear about where it's all going.
Mm-hmm.
And just the last thing, I heard this quote, some spiritual type, I can't remember who said it years ago, but it was really helpful, and it was just that a rule of thumb for, you know, whether to engage in a behavior or not: if it doesn't make you stronger, don't even consider it.
Hmm.
I like that. It's just kind of, I mean, that feels like what we're doing.
So it's a nice place to be able to check in with yourself. Like, there's the chocolate cake in front of you.
Yeah.
And you can check in and go, is this going to make me strong?
Right.
No, I think the mushroom cloud is probably
kind of better question. Yeah, exactly.
And then we can say, okay, I'm willing to face whatever conditioned mind is going to attempt to get me to do, you know, to the fear, the whatever it's going to do, I'm willing to face that, knowing that the strength lies in another direction.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. That's it.
Perfect. Thank you. Ashwini.
I'm really enjoying the conversation because a lot of, as always, a lot of things come together from what I was watching when I sat down to meditate. And when I sat down and when I sat on face the window, I saw three mosquitoes.
On the inside or the outside?
I wasn't sure. And makes so while we were reciting the daily recollection, I watched the attention trying to track the mosquitoes. Because I have a bad reaction to them. I mean, I really
so you're here, and the eye is focused down here.
The eye is not focused.
But yeah.
And you know, it's so interesting. I mean, to me, the whole conversation was about highlighted the learning that I got from just doing that, right? Mm-hmm. Because there's a sense of okay, and then I found out that two of them were outside, and one of them was inside.
The dreaded one that was inside.
Sleepily, drowsily moving around. So, it's such an view into the conditioned orientation. I'm protected by the screen from these things that I want to avoid, but I'm not protected.
I see. So the screen is the conditioning.
Well, so it's the approach, right? That the conditioned karmic, at least my karmic approach, is control. Mm-hmm. So how do I control the environment so I'm okay?
Right.
Right? And so I can check, okay, well, two of them are not going to bite me. And then one of them is inevitably going to. So I watch that chance to kill. Right? Really?
Swat that sucker, yeah.
Yeah. Yes, because I don't want to, if it bit me, I don't want to have that, whatever the story goes, of the 4 hours of welts and itching and rubbing alcohol and all of the process of managing the discomfort.
So that's where the attention is going, towards
to the story,
the consequence, the managing.
Well, not even in a very conscious way, right? It's like the instinct to kill because the experience says that the mosquito is going to bite you and you're going to have this whatever reaction.
Gotcha.
And so to watch that in the metaphoric sense of how the whole survival system is working to create all of the ways, as we were talking about, to avoid life experiences.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what I loved about the conversation is the metaphor was highlighted, right? In the sense of, this is real. Like, the reality is there are mosquitoes, and mosquitoes bite. The reality is I have a body, and when I bite, I react. And there's an acceptance of that whole process in there isn't anything else. And I actually don't know if the mosquito's going to bite me or not, and it didn't. Because I was pretty sure at the end of the meditation, if I'm going to keep my eyes, that was the training, right? My attention's not going to go to that mosquito and distract me from my meditation because I'm afraid of what it's going to do.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so it was just that what dropped in looking at it is the acceptance is in process, not content. Because I don't have to accept that the mosquito. I don't have to reject the fact that I don't like being bitten. Mm-hmm.
That's there, it's fine. You can leave that alone, that's content.
That's right.
But we're going to move the attention to the process of acceptance.
Which is, I'm annoyed by mosquitoes. I don't like them. Mm-hmm. You know, that impulse of what the body does to protect itself when it gets bitten is in reaction to, or in response to, the mosquito. But it's a way of protecting itself not from a defensive place, but from a place of acceptance.
Uh-huh. Like you say, that reaction just is.
That's right. It's what happens. Mm-hmm. There's no... it's only the mental story that attempts to avoid the discomfort. Mm-hmm. But the body is quite capable of handling what comes in.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
So there's that projection of adequacy towards the body, right?
The respect.
The respect, yeah, and the kindness. All of that comes in together, and the acceptance that it will do what it does. It's reacting from that place.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, Chris, the thing that drops in also is that whole thing about pleasure and pain, which is, I've been bitten by mosquitoes all of my life. Mm-hmm. It's not like I died.
But the next one.
It's the discomfort that we want to avoid. Like, in that, the change in the relation, so as I watched that mosquito's what happened is it turned to respect. Okay, so this is a creature.
Mm.
This feeds off of me.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's no place of separation, then we mutually respect each other.
Yeah. Yeah, so respect in every direction.
Yes.
So respect for this being, respect for the body's reaction, respect for the mosquito. And from that place, then life gets to decide what the action is.
Yes, and my dislike for it, the whole experience, doesn't mm-hmm. mean that I can't be present and real to whatever mm-hmm. is happening. Because it's only the story that says the lake needs to be peaceful, or right. the mosquito needs not to bite me.
Exactly.
Or whatever it is. And so the some clarity around, we don't have to accept conditioning, but we can be in the process of acceptance regardless.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we don't have to accept conditioning.
I'm not quite sure what that means, but it dropped in as how I got to that place of, well, it's all okay.
Yeah. Yeah, because if the attention goes towards accepting conditioning, it feels like that's a place where the attention could get pulled into a conversation about it in some sense.
Yes, and as you say that,
kind of draw back into that very same process.
Yeah, because I think what conditioning confuses me with, or I don't know, well, the confusion I was experiencing is it wants us to accept the content.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's where the hook is. What I have to work out, how I can be okay with mosquitoes biting me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, I don't. It's complete. The acceptance is I'm okay that I feel uncomfortable that the mosquitoes do bite me.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? And so it's just an interesting place to... I love the fact that everything teaches us.
It's incredible, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah.
Meditation.
Yeah.
Because there was such a hyper awareness of being here, of not indulging the story, in being okay to be bitten.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, another one of those places where life is conspiring perfectly,
yes, isn't exactly.
it? It's like
yes.
you chose to sit in front of the window this morning, and those three mosquitoes, they woke up at who knows what time, and they go, one of us needs to get into the hall.
Yes. Yeah. And everybody's conversation constructed to produce that really, really profound sense of the lesson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, between all of us. That yes. it takes all of us to add a little piece of what acceptance looks like. Where's the kindness? Where's the respect? Right? A piece here, 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 and...
It all comes together.
And it all comes together, yeah.
Yeah. I just absolutely love that place of non-separation we can get to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, it's beautiful. So just one other question. Where's that other mosquito right now? Where's that?
I have no idea. I think you have escaped it. Well, so
you've
but
escaped
you don't
it.
Know yet. You know, that's yeah. That was the joy of the moment,
yeah.
which is it could bite me. And that'll be fine.
Yeah, because you could come in on another morning and there's three mosquitoes on that screen and they're the ones that are going to get you. And you'll be there not really knowing that one of them is headed your way. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, well, thoughts on creek's not running. Why are we having standing water? Do we need to spray? You know, all of the fixing, the urge, all of those things. And it's just
yeah.
life, right? That's what it does.
Yeah.
And yeah. I get victims, so okay. Well,
there you have it.
At some very profound level for me, it's the stakes we were talking about, right? This is the reality, and the only reality I have is this moment. And in this moment, there isn't another reality.
Mm-hmm.
Everything in the conversation is illusory, and it's not happening.
Yeah, and if I want to stay, if I do get the stakes, and I want to have the results of being with life, then I'll be okay with being bitten by the mosquito.
Yes, and okay, and that's the level of acceptance of the story, because there is a time
mm-hmm.
when I'm not going to be okay because I'm listening to a conversation,
mm-hmm.
but I'm actually not in the moment there. You know, there's nobody to accept it. I mean, there
right.
is, I'm not there. So it's one of those places it's so hard for conditioning to wrap its head around, but there's a level of acceptance that has no tolerance for conditioning, but accepts the fact that the mind wanders and I'm in a process of practice.
Yeah, fortunately, right?
Yes,
we're practicing.
Yes.
Otherwise, we'd be back to Sequoia having to do acceptance perfectly, which who knows what that would do to those mosquitoes.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you. Rebecca.
Well, I love that. And that whole place of non-separation is the mosquito found me, and it did bite me. And what I understand, what I was watching, and this happens quite a bit here in these months for me, because they seem to... I seem to have that vibe of mosquito that comes to me. And it's so fun to, I mean, it actually has become a little fun to watch how when you hear the buzzing right in your ear, the body, to watch what the body reacts to with that, because I've come to I've kind of been in a place where I sit down and I say, like, bring it on. You know, I have that attitude of, go ahead, bite me, I'm ready for it, you know. But then there's this other place of just seeing and watching the body react, and then because it's the sound,
You know? So not going to any of the stories about it. I mean, in the experience you're talking about, just paying attention basically to see what's next, to see what really is going to happen.
And then when it lands, just to get into this, then when it lands, there's actually a tingling sensation to the body that could be described as pleasurable, you know? And then, you know, and then when you feel the stinger actually go in, I get this
That's not pleasurable.
I look at it, well, actually, I wouldn't say it's pleasurable, but it's just like, you know, okay, oh well. You know,
What that's like.
At times.
That's kind of what that's like, yeah.
After enough times of watching it, it's become that, you know. And then it does, and there's even a way in which I want it to stay with me because I know it's going to go bother somebody else after me. And so it's like, I'm already bothered, so go ahead and just do your thing here. You know? I don't know, it's just really interesting, the whole practice around mosquitoes. What I wanted to look at a little bit too is around the Enneagram, the email class.
Sure.
It's the core belief that I was having trouble seeing about something that you're worthless. I think is how it goes. I'm seeing how it is the assumption too. Getting kind of to this class, I don't know that it's a belief or it's just an assumption that you're worthless. And how I've seen it play out in communication is that it is what is behind me it never occurring to me to communicate about certain things. Because it's and it's puzzled me for a long time. It's like, why didn't that occur to me to just say something or, you know, report in about something? It's not even there.
Because you'll get information after the fact that would have been good to report in on. And then you can look back and see the point at which the communication would have been possible. And it didn't occur to me to communicate.
Exactly. Okay. And what I'm suspecting is what's behind that is this assumption that I'm worthless.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not worth it.
Mm-hmm.
So it never registers that somebody might care about this, or I don't know. Do you see that?
Yeah, sure. So it's like, we're talking about the core message for your Enneatype, right? Which is the core message, and that so you're worthless. And so when it comes time to communicate, the focus of attention is inside that little world of being worthless. There's no sense that someone else might find that information valuable, since that's the whole world is. Even if there were intuition dropping in about, you know, perhaps that's just not something that someone else would find valuable.
Or even would be helpful to this person, to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's like, oh, that would be really, you know, something that I, you know, and then I always, so exactly right. I'm in this world of I'm worthless, so it never can penetrate or get in, or not never, but often. And then I'll get information later that, oh, that would have been, I could have done that, would have been so helpful to me. I would have enjoyed that. Or they would have been helped and they would have enjoyed that or whatever. And it always goes to, why didn't I know that? I didn't know that. You know, how could everybody else know that? I didn't know that. It always takes me to that place of feeling, you know, sort of victimized, sort of...
Well, that's the whole point, isn't it?
Yes,
yeah.
Yeah,
and that's that place of... So then an awareness comes in of what the process you've just been through has been, right? That you're communicating from that place of inside that core message of being worthless, right? Mm-hmm. Later on, it comes in an awareness that, well, that might have been helpful to other people, to me. And then conditioning comes back in to get you back into that place of worthlessness.
Mm-hmm.
So the behavior of not communicating is designed to continue that same conversation, to reinforce that conversation.
Yes, and as you're saying that, I'm seeing that it's like conditioning opens the trap door to where that insight, or I don't know who, somehow that insight comes in.
A little tiny chute where it
rolls
in there.
Yeah, it's like a mosquito's like, okay, let's get in. But that's necessary in order for me to stay. I have to get it that would have been helpful to communicate, and even that gets hijacked.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because that's little nugget, little jewel, has to be able to come in order to keep the system going.
Yeah. It's I think it was this email class. Somewhere in there, one of Sherry's responses included something like, "We're much closer to awareness than we give ourselves credit for." In other words, it's that far between identified and being in life that conditioning actually has one eye on awareness so it can keep itself current, so that it can be believable. Because if it didn't do that, it would wander off someplace where it would say something that's not germane to what's happening in life. Mm-hmm. So it's always one step behind.
I don't know why this is dropping in as you're saying that. Maybe you can see the connection, but it feels like it's related. And it's this story. It's this scene. Actually, it's a scene from a movie that keeps replaying. It's a scene from Saving Private Ryan, this movie that I wish to God I had never seen. You know the movie? And it's when the German is killing the Americans, you know, it's just slowly.
I think I blotted that scene.
Oh, I'm sorry to bring it back up.
Just kidding.
And then there's the guy that's watching, you know, and doesn't do anything about it.
Mm.
And the American. And then the German just walks off. He's not even worth killing. He's not even worth, you know, that. And what conditioning sets up is, you know, he's such a coward. He's not, doesn't save his friend. The German didn't even care. You know, it sets it up that that's what's happening internally. That I'm both Americans. I'm both the coward and the authentic one that's getting killed. And what I think you were just saying about what I've been believing is that it's my job to take on conditioning and knock the German away so he doesn't kill me. You know, conditioning away so it doesn't kill this authentic human.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But what I think you just said, or at least what was dropping in, is it's not that. It's not that at all. It's that the whole thing is just crap.
Yeah.
The whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say it's a movie designed to scare a small child.
Yeah.
And I would project that she's the one that receives the core message.
What's coming up is, so in a way that is happening to her.
Yeah, it seems like it's just a way that conditioning can, again, I think you're right on, that it can reinforce that conversation. You know, it puts that little person in that place of suffering, and then all the attention goes to how to fix it out there. And every time we engage in a behavior to fix something out in conditioned land, that's the message that that little person's getting. That's the message they're getting. Which is why we can't engage in any of that content out there. We really have to turn our attention to that process. And as you're indicating, accept that whole ball of wax.
You know, on one level, I just feel what this is just so deeply true, and I can feel the fuzziness, so I'm glad I'm getting it recorded twice here, because I'll need to listen to that again, because what is being, just tell me if this is sort of what you're saying, is that, so in a sense, the scene, the movie that's being played to scare that small child is in a way true, because that's what's happening. And whenever...
How does it feel when that gets played, when that movie gets shown on the screen? You know, who's watching and how does that feel?
It feels... It feels frustrating because I want to save the child, but I don't know how. Mm-hmm. So it feels like frustration would be the dominant, and I feel that a lot, you know, when things...
That frustration.
Mm-hmm. You know, when things, like, it gets pointed out, well, I could have done this. Like, you know, it just goes to that.
The frustration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
And so, there's the frustration. What else is there?
Mm-hmm. Past the embarrassment, because you know, self-consciousness coming up right now. Frustration. And what else is there? Well, I think just great love.
Mm-hmm. I would project that that's there too. Yeah. Yeah. And here's what I was looking at. So that for me, and you'll have to look to see what is so for you. So for me, the frustration feels like it's part of the conditioned response to that scene, right? So it's leading, it's trying to get you back out into content land.
Yeah.
And that there's still someone who's watching that show, and she's the one getting that message of she's worthless and... However, whatever language that is, sometimes with Enneagram stuff, there's a disconnect with the language. For me, I often have to translate into, that's how it works in this system. But that's kind of the direction that I was heading with that.
Yeah.
And then for me, the love would be, that's what's going to come between that core message and that little child.
Yeah.
That's what's going to say no. That's where that stops, and then the relationship between the small child and that compassion can be there.
Yeah.
Deep breath. Yeah. Thank you. All right.
No, I'm not taking the time. I just real quick, I was seeing close to it. that just really clearly, I guess, again, seeing that movement from content, from conditioning to process in life, it is that process of acceptance. You know, it seems like conditioning always wants to make that such a difficult thing, you know, but it's acceptance.
It's impossible,
yeah.
Isn't it?
But the and the method of the acceptance that I'm experiencing right now is just getting it out loud, mm-hmm. into this group, which I project is getting it out loud and out into a projection of love. And then also another great technique is the recording and listening in mm-hmm. the two person, mm-hmm. and how just transformative it is to get whatever's going on inside and in us outside and have it just be held by life. And it just keeps fitting all these things that are going on in my life, keep fitting into this. It's funny, I don't feel like I'm choosing the lens, but it just keeps coming up of this whole system is so clearly built for us to wake up and then suffering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that almost in every moment we're being reminded of, I think the way we talked about it, what's at stake, mm-hmm. right? And we're being questioned in some way. So what is it that you really want? Do you want that choice that, as we all know in this room, is going towards suffering, or do we want what life has in store for us? Kind of the mystery and the magic of that.
Mystery and magic. I'll take that one.
You'll take that. It's perfect, isn't it? Yeah. And for me, then that's the spirit of inquiry.
Yeah.
You know, and because I've never. It's always interesting to watch. How conditioning's version, what conditioning's version of transformation is compared to what actually happens.
Yeah.
Right? Conditioning says, well, you start here where you are, and it's this nice straight line to here where we get the low halo. Right? And in my experiences, it goes, well, you go about 5 steps back, first thing, right? And then you take 2 steps to the left, and then you launched way out here to point 7, and then you're there for. Not very long, usually. And then, it's just, it's gone everywhere. And then over time, it becomes clear that things have changed, that all of those practices that you're talking about in terms of moving towards acceptance and, here's what's working now. You know, if I put this out in the room, conditioning just totally loses its power.
Yeah.
And,
which is what we're always just asked to just say yes to life.
Perfect.
That's what that feels like.
Yeah, yeah. Even its version of transformation, we have to say yes to. All right, and somebody's going to have to tell me what the end time on group is. We've reached.
Thank you.